Sports Hub headlines.
Brad Marchand made his return to the ice last night after serving a five-game suspension. The result, a 6-1 win over the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Brad, how'd you feel?
Felt better after the first. Took a little bit of time to get back into it. They were flying too, so a little tougher, but felt good as the game went on.
An assist from Marchand on the night. Two goals from Patrice Bergeron. He's now up to 24 on the season. 46 points in 47 games. They'll be home to take on Buffalo on Saturday. Celtics are in action tonight. They take on the Washington Wizards in the first night of back-to-backs. It's also NBA trade deadline day coming up at 3 p.m. Speaking of basketball, Forbes magazine yesterday announced the value of all NBA teams. Atop the list, the Knicks, reportedly worth $3.6 billion, according to Forbes. Celtics come in the fifth spot in the rankings at $2.5 billion in value. Headlines are brought to you by Bob's Granite Place. Get quartz countertops starting at just $33.99 per square foot installed. Bob'sGraniteplace.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Matey.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Action almost about to resume. See if the Boston Celtics can get back in this thing. Injury right now to Kyrie Irving, dribbling the ball up court. I'm actually waiting for Sean Grandy to come back. Al Horford at the top. Ball kicked out of bounds here. Seconds on the shot clock. Tatum about to inbound the ball now. Coming in as Al Horford receives the ball coming into the paint.
We're going to have good talk about security at the ACC in a second. Horford misses a three and a rebound pulled down by Ananobi.
Zolak and Bertrand, let's go to the phones with Sean Grandy, the voice of the Boston Celtics.
He joins us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Sean. You know what? Hold on. That's
a problem. How many?
What happened there? Oh, I picked up the wrong one. That's
yeah, that was a contest line, like Zoe did last week.
Oh, okay. Then everybody makes
with Grandy.
Hold on.
We do.
Let me try this again.
His phone calls always seem to go poorly.
Is this Sean Grandy?
We have a saying.
There we go.
Act like you've been there before. How can you?
Wow.
It was first day in the new studio, first day with the new hands. What's going on?
No, we got it figured out. What's going on, Sean? Hey, what happened with security the other night?
Oh, I was actually kind of, I want to lean more towards the story of that was my revenge after Max doing that to me about 800 times over the last 16 years and kind of meandering back late. But the way it's set up, I was actually with my son. So I'm bringing my son back in, and security didn't recognize right away that we had badge. They clear a path for the players and everybody to get back. Everybody kind of goes in the same place. And the reason, in Toronto, nobody's ever in their seat at the start of the second half is apparently they keep everybody, hundreds of people, to the side so all the players and officials can get back. And apparently, although my six-year-old son looks very much like an official, they didn't quite recognize right away that we needed to get back, so we had to kind of fight our way through the crowd. And then once I saw that the thing was about to start, let's say I didn't exactly, like, break my back hustling back because of all the years that Max has done that to me. So I thought it would be probably the best and most entertaining 20 seconds of radio that night in that particular game.
It was a train wreck. It was an absolute train wreck. Wow. I would ask you for next time to break your back, to save us. I mean, the flow was so smooth.
I think this game.
He knew the players.
Let's put it this way. The game deserved that.
The game deserved that. It was a horrible game. It was a blowout. I'd like to have all the color guys on the station be forced to do play-by-play for 5 minutes.
Absolutely great idea.
So Zoe would have to do 5 minutes of a Patriots game.
I can do that.
Bob Beers is going to have to do hockey, which is, as you know, Sean, that's not easy to do. So we're going to have to force everyone to do a little bit. You know, be versatile. We want to be like the Patriots. Everybody have some versatility. So today is a trade deadline day in the NBA. Do you expect anything out of the Celtics?
I don't. I think the Celtics have meandered into that. You know, are they in on Tyreke Evans? Yeah, they are. An interesting thing, and that's probably the most interesting player as far as the Celtics are concerned today. What's happened, the interesting development on Tyreke Evans yesterday, and Memphis is holding out for a first-round pick, and nobody, none of the suitors want to give it. But with Lou Williams basically coming off the market, there was Lou Williams and Tyreke Evans, and people were looking at Lou Williams first and Tyreke Evans second. Now you have the same number of suitors and the same needs that the same teams have, but there's only one guy instead of two. So I think they're holding out hope for a first-round pick, and someone gets desperate enough near the deadline, and desperate at the deadline and Danny Ainge really don't go together. So I think, you know, there's an opportunity there, but for the most part, I think the Celtics don't have the glaring needs that, you know, I think when we look back on it, we're going to look at Greg Monroe as being a far more significant addition than anything the Celtics could have done today. That said, they're in, but I would lean towards no.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked to Brad Stevens, and you know, we talked about Toronto, and everybody talks about Celtics-Cleveland. And everybody, we know Toronto's good, but they're never in the conversation. We're talking about advancing. How is it a bad matchup for this team? Say they would get their series.
They're a bad matchup for everybody. They have been, listen, the Celtics have had a remarkable year, even without the Gordon Hayward injury, to win the kind of games they have won, to have the record that they have. But they have stolen a lot of close games late. So is Cleveland, by the way. As much of a train wreck as that has been, their record should be a lot worse than it actually is. And they're going to get all the headlines. I said during the game as it was going on, as the Raptors were beating the Celtics down, you know, Cleveland is going through that another colossal loss, that game in Orlando the other night. And you knew that was all anyone was going to talk about today. So the Raptors, and I think they've earned it because they've had playoff flameouts and disappointments, and they don't have a lot of sex appeal on that roster, nor do they make a lot of changes. So you can see why people have gotten bored with it and turned away from them, but their body of work in the East has been far and away the best, and it's been on par with Golden State and Houston all year. So are they a tough match for the Celtics? Yeah. Are they a tough matchup for everybody? Yeah. They're an elite championship-caliber team.
Sean, I'm distracted right now because there is a trade developing. Adrian Wojnarowski just had a tweet a minute ago that the Lakers are sending Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance to the Cavaliers. And now we just saw another report from the Ringer that Isaiah is going to end up in L.A.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was to watch Isaiah Thomas. You know, you're hearing all these kind of crazy whispers. Yeah. To see, and I'm doing it in real time now, the same way you're doing it.
Yeah.
But to watch Isaiah, the last couple of weeks, talk about the Cavaliers, the players, the front office, the coaching staff, the organization, as if he had the same cachet that he had in Boston, was really striking. When he was the new guy there, you know, he was the outsider. There are chemistry issues there. He was almost that guy saying, you know, we got chemistry issues in there, and we have, you know, problems with the matchups and not adjustments. You're the problem right now. You're a significant part of it because he is not yet off the injury, the Isaiah that, you know, he was last year. So this is not, I think the whole thing is very jarring. I think a few weeks ago in a game I said when this was starting to percolate a little bit, and the possibility was there. I think I said, what if after all of the time we spent discussing Isaiah's video about on Paul Pierce Day, if Isaiah wasn't even there when it happened? Because that game, of course, is 3 days after the deadline. And so I think it is a jarring thing. But when you look back at his time in Cleveland, I don't think we should be shocked.
Wow. I mean, but with the chip that he plays with on his shoulder,
yep.
And to your point that, okay, he's the new guy. He hasn't really done anything there. You know what he meant to the Celtics last year. Did they boost him up because he was so dejected about the trade and floored by it that they gave him this false sense of, hey, you're a massive leader on his team, and he took it and ran with it?
Maybe. I think history will show. We'll see what happens with Isaiah and the rest of his career. Remember, you know, he's the Cavaliers are in, I'm sort of making up, this isn't an official term, but the Cavaliers are essentially in the super mega power luxury tax, okay, to try to drill that point home. So they can't, the idea of Isaiah's contract coming up, they're not even going to be in that conversation the way it would affect them. So that's number one. You got to think about, is Isaiah going to help them win this year? And obviously he has not. So that's number one. I think when we look back on Isaiah's career and the trajectory of the players that have come through Brad Stevens' system and then left, are going to realize how much of what the Celtics did and Brad Stevens did to alter the way the team played around Isaiah. Because it was the right thing to do. It wasn't like some charity case. It was Isaiah's your best player. How do you create a system around him? And that's what the Celtics did for the last couple of years. And you go to Cleveland, they have a system, and they've got LeBron James. They're not going to cater everything to Isaiah. I think, you know, is Isaiah's best bet. He's going to have the most success somewhere where he is made the feature player. And that obviously was never going to be in Cleveland.
We're talking with Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics. And if you're just joining us, some breaking news in the NBA with a trade happening between the Cavaliers and the Lakers. Kevin O'Connor first to report. It's been confirmed by Adrian Wojnarowski and Sham Sharina as well. It's Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, going from the Cavs along with a Cavaliers first-round pick to the Lakers.
Wow.
For Clarkson and Nance. That deal is about to get done on deadline day, so Isaiah Thomas's time in Cleveland short-lived, for sure.
This is a good deal for Cleveland, guys, because Nance is younger. What they are not, what Cleveland is not, is younger and athletic, and obviously they are defending at a historically bad rate, and they have not caught up with the rest of the NBA, whereas the Celtics have gone in the direction. Think about what the Celtics have done roster wise: the Jaylen Browns and the Jason Tatums. You're young, you're athletic, you can defend multiple positions. The Cavaliers had gotten older, and the players, you know, Isaiah Thomas wasn't one of those players. J.R. Smith wasn't one of those players. Shumpert was that guy 5-6 years ago, but isn't anymore. So this moves them, this gives them a little more of a 2018 NBA structure around LeBron and what is still a dynamic, you know, offensive group.
Sean, I've seen a lot of people in the last few weeks writing off the Cavaliers, and I think it's absolutely silly.
Until you see the Eastern Conference taken from his cold, dead hands, as long as that guy is on the other side of the floor, you know, I think if you're a Celtics fan, what I've been telling people is I would like to see whether the Celtics finish first or second. To me, is less of an issue is be out of Cleveland's bracket. You want Toronto dealing with Cleveland in the second round.
Wow.
That, to me, is the best scenario. Because Cleveland was starting to drop. They have been on the fringe of losing that third spot for weeks now. So if they were going to drop down into four or five or whatever, I'd almost rather be two and stay out of Cleveland's bracket, let Cleveland and Toronto deal with it in the second round, than face Cleveland. So to me, I know Max has written them off, a lot of people have, and you would after 55 games. But I bring up the 2010 Celtics a lot.
Okay, so you say it's safe to assume that the Celtics will not play the Isaiah Thomas video on Paul Pierce night. That's not going to happen.
I don't know now we're going to have. Now, see, here's the thing. Now we're going to have to get Sean McElroy, one of the guys who does all this work for us.
Yeah, the captain.
The captain's going to have to go back and find the moment when I said, it's like, sounded, I remember talking like in that 30 for 30 voice. What if after all the conversation about Isaiah's video, he wasn't even there by the time that day happened? And as it turned out.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Once in a while. Hey, you say 100 different things. One of them happened.
You know, one of the thoughts about this trade that just happened, again, Isaiah Thomas getting traded to the Lakers, it's sort of a lose-lose for the Celtics. I think that the Lakers may have, you know, if they get a revitalized Isaiah Thomas, right, where he's sort of the veteran now, and they play well, and Cleveland plays well because they've got Isaiah out of their hair. It's not good. There's no upside here for the Celtics.
I wanted some juice. I wanted some juice in that back and forth with Cleveland there, too.
No, and I think, by the way, the Lakers have been playing much better. There was a pipe dream. Remember that idea? They had a real swale in the middle of the year where they dropped down towards the bottom of the league, and there was crazy hope that, talk about insult to injury, is that the Celtics would actually end up getting that Laker pick. I never thought the Lakers neither had the motivation nor the roster to finish in the bottom five in the NBA. And I think this, you know, this, I don't know if this probably does help them, you know, win some games.
One final one.
Hey, now you got LeVar Ball and Isaiah in the same place.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
Oh, boy. One final question. What's the future of Marcus Smart here after everything that's gone on the last couple of weeks?
I think these are defining. I think he's a Celtic, you know, for the rest of the year. I think these are defining weeks for him now. I think it's going to be fascinating to see. The real question, and it's a summer question, is how much. It only takes one crazy team out there to offer him $16 million a year to really put a, you know, right. It only takes, remember, it only takes one.
Yeah.
It only takes one to do it. That said, I think the hope is that there's a reasonable number for Marcus Smart and that he's a long-term Celtic, but he's got to deal with the consequences of what happened. I think he's humble enough to do that, and it's going to be I'm fascinated to see the Marcus Smart that returns to the court in a couple of weeks.
All right, Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Appreciate the time, Sean.
You got it, guys.
Sean Grandy joins us here on the show, and right now we get to the CBS Sports Minute. Again, that news, Isaiah Thomas has been traded to the L.A. Lakers today, along with Channing Frye going from the Cavs. It's a Cavs first-round pick, Channing Frye and Isaiah Thomas getting sent to the Lakers for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance. The CBS Sports Minute is brought to you by Stone and Bank, and it's John Feinstein wondering if we will ever know why Josh McDaniels really spurned the Colts.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the midday.
It's true.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Just a quick follow-up on that Isaiah Thomas trade. He's going to the Lakers now, no longer a Cav. Ramona Shelbourne. Shelbourne, is that her last name? Right?
Shelbourne?
Yeah. Shelbourne or Shelbourne?
B-U-R-N-E.
We'll say Shelbourne. Ramona Shelbourne has an item that the Lakers plan on keeping the players they acquired. They're not going to spin those guys into another deal later in the day. NBA trade deadline day. Not much cooking on the Celtics front. Keep you up to date if anything does happen. Obviously, still talking about the Super Bowl and the fallout of the Super Bowl and everything that's gone on this week with Matt Patricia going to Detroit yesterday and no one asking any questions about the Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler
never happened.
Giving up 500 yards to Nick Foles. None of that was asked about.
That guy's a freaking MVP. MVP of the biggest game ever.
I mean, he did play well.
He played great.
Played awesome.
He played great. I never will take it away from him. You told me at the beginning of this year that Nick Foles is going to be MVP of the freaking Super Bowl. You nuts.
So in rewatching some of that game, too,
what really
drives you up a wall more and more, and it did right out of the gate, but the more you see it, the more you get crazy about it.
Yes, I agree.
And that is Zach Ertz on third down in the second half. Oh, my.
Are you talking about
third
and seven? He picks up 17.
Guys, Ertz is a good player.
Yeah. Guess who was on him? Number 37 in nickel.
Ertz.
37.
Good player.
37.
You might want to cover him. You might want to make a plan for
Who's
Zach
37?
Ertz. 37? It almost felt like the Patriots didn't give Zach Ertz enough respect.
I want you to do this.
This guy is great. Have you watched him play all year long?
I want you to watch the 3rd and 7 where he picks up 17, and he was in the right slot to Foles. And Jordan Richards is on him. He gets up to Richards. And Collinsworth said during the call, ooh, might be a little push up here. Ertz is really good because he knows how to get physical downfield, and then they slow it down. He gets up on the 37, puts the head to the right, and Jordan Richards bites towards the sideline, and he snaps it off towards the middle, and he's open by 8 yards.
Ertz is good.
There was no contact.
Ertz is my type of tight end, man.
Zero. No contact.
He's no Kelsey.
No
he's Ertz.
Up.
Who would you take, Kelsey or Ertz?
I'd take Ertz every day.
Ertz every day, baby.
Kelsey's a puss.
Every day.
Soft. But Kelsey is front runner.
Ertz can play.
Kelsey's so good when things are going well and they're front runners. Big bleep talker. When's the last time that guy blocked anybody? That's what's crazy about this tight end position and the whole Gronk thing.
Ooh, look at this. We have a call from Philadelphia. John in Philly.
John.
Yo.
How's the parade?
Oh, I'm working. I'm not going to that. Are you kidding? That's going to be crazy. I'll pass on that. Okay. I'll watch the highlights tonight. Hey, I just called. I've been listening to you guys all week.
Yep.
You know, watching you guys, watching that game, it was probably one of the best games I've ever seen in my life. But hats off to you guys. You guys played an awesome game. I mean, you guys have nothing to be ashamed of, man. That was just one of those, just a game for all time, as far as I'm concerned. And we really thought, you know, the week leading up, we thought our defense was going to knock Brady around and all this stuff. And, I mean, we got a couple shots on him. But you guys stifled our defense and frustrated our defense, which was our strong. We thought that was going to carry us through the game. No one, you know, in the preseason, Foles didn't even play. We thought his arm was shot. You know what I mean? No one thought he could throw the ball like he threw against Atlanta and against you guys. And it was just one of those games.
Yeah.
And they rose to the occasion at the end, and they finally got to Brady and knocked that ball out of his hands. And
one play.
It was one play that really made the game.
One play can make all the difference. John, thanks for the call.
That's a good call. And I know Frank Reich, too. And obviously, I know Eugene Chung. You know, we had Eugene on. Frank did a nice job with Peterson for 2 weeks, altering what Fultz did well for three weeks that they had a chance to peek at, some of the things he does better or maybe not as good as Carson Wentz, and you eliminate some and escalate some. I'm sure they went back to some old tape, too, when Fultz played well in Philly a couple years ago and asked, hey, like, what do you like? Let's implement some of your packages where you feel comfortable. You're thinking, Holly, I know.
Just throw that in there. What do you like?
I disagree. That's a terrible call. We're doing this now? We're letting Philly fans call? Guys, don't feel too bad about yourselves. I've been listening all week.
Already?
We're taking calls from Philly fans saying, don't feel bad about yourselves.
That's not okay.
That's what we're doing now.
All of a sudden, you're classless and closed-minded?
But we can't accept a call from Philadelphia now?
Yeah. Why don't you go work for the Not Done Network?
I mean, he made some points in there that are right. That game did not go the way any of us thought it was going to go.
They thought they were going to beat the hell out of Brady, and they didn't.
And he admitted that.
Brady lit you up after he lost his number two receiver 4 minutes into the game. And he still lit your ass up. Problem is your defense got lit up a little bit more.
It's not okay to take any calls from Philadelphia.
Look at him. He's not even looking through the glass.
Jim. I didn't say that. I said, don't take calls.
You know
guys saying,
you're like my dog.
Oh,
I yell my dog.
What am I supposed to do? Predict the future? What am I, Miss Cleo here
taking calls?
Knowing what they're going to say before they say it?
Hang up on him.
That guy wasn't rude. He wasn't a jerk.
Who are you, Louth?
Yeah, you only...
Condescending Philly fan.
Jim's worked too many days. Beetle, too many days in a row.
Beetle only hangs up on Carlton. He's not going to hang up on just random
when it's
Eagles
the same schlepping spill, and now all of a sudden he's not going to call the other station.
Good.
You can have him.
I want to take credit for that. I managed to get Carlton off the station.
You know what I want to do the rest of the show? I want to take more Philly calls. That makes me want to take more calls from Philly.
I'd rather hear the Philly fans gloating. I don't want to hear a Philly fan say, you guys shouldn't feel too bad about yourselves.
What? That's offensive to you guys because it was a good game, and it was a good hard-fought game. It went down to the wire, and everybody should walk
Someone's
away
gotta
from
lose,
that.
Jim.
So why do you think he's been listening all week?
Can't
why
win everyone.
He's been listening all week?
Why?
To us, not Philly stations.
Because he's waiting for us to...
Their shows suck. How about that? Do you hear them?
The Eagles
to listen to any of their podcasts? Those shows blow.
That's not what we do.
When the other team's better, listen to John Ritchie. He can't hold my jock.
When the other team's better, you give them credit. That's what we do here.
I don't need your condolences, Philly. That's all.
I'm sorry you're hurt, Jim.
Could you imagine Jim did a podcast?
Jim's very emotional this week.
What do you think Jim's podcast would sound like? Jim Lopp podcast.
Scroll back to like 2003. Yankees fan calling the day after Game 7 saying, you guys shouldn't feel... You really battled all the way to Game 7. How would you react to that, Beetle?
Well, I have class. So I'd say, sorry, sir, but I'm going to hang up on you now because I don't think this is a point that we want to be talking about today, the day after the
Yankees
game.
Yankees aren't the Eagles.
It's Thursday. It's not the day after the game. It's many days after the game.
The play I was just talking about, Mike G already tweeted the All-22 of it. Take a peek at it. Thanks for listening, Mikey.
Right on that. More calls from Philadelphia. Line them up. 617-779-0985. Coming up after headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub headlines.
Some action on NBA trade deadline day. The Cavaliers have sent Isaiah Thomas and forward Channing Frye to the Lakers in exchange for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. This according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Once again, the Isaiah Thomas era in Cleveland is over. Hey, what you got? Meanwhile, the Celtics do play tonight. They take on the Wizards in Washington. Washington has won 5 of their last 6, but they're also playing their 5th game in 8 nights. Bruins with a big win over the Rangers last night, 6-1 at Madison Square Garden. Anton Hudobin, 21 saves on the night. 2 goals for Patrice Bergeron in the win. He's now up to 24 on the season. They'll be home to take on Buffalo on Saturday. Headlines are brought to you by Cool Sculpting Freeze. excuse me, Cool Sculpting. Freeze away your fat for good with Dr. Joseph Russo's team today. Call 617-964-1440 or josepharussomd.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird,
Zolak,
the wild, Bertrand, and the unexpected.
How's his butt look?
Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Try to make me feel better.
I can't help remember just when she touched me. There's still no face here in a place so cool. She was like jazz on the summer's day. Music high and sweet.
He was pretty good, Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
Imagine if he was on the Eagles. Not Philadelphia Eagles, but put him in the mix with the Eagles. Be that one.
That imagine if he was in the Eagles. That's what we're doing now?
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Valerie, call on me. Valerie. Valerie, come and see me. I'm the same. To be.
He's going to be 70 this year.
Wow. Look, good looking 70. If I look like that when I'm 70.
When's the last time you saw him?
Oh, he did some show like this year.
He did some show this year?
One of them entertainment shows. I don't know.
Concert?
You know what? I mean, I have good, basically have good memory retention on some stuff, but sure. It wasn't good enough that it stuck.
No.
Tell you what did stick, watching this all 22 again. You want to get more pissed off?
Man, these safeties. Wow.
How's that big nickel look?
I can't say that my guy, Daron Harmon, had a good night. I can't.
Nor did McCourty or Richards. Here's your problem. That third and seven at Ertz and the third and five. The third and five with the back. If Malcolm's in, Chung's that defender instead of Jordan Richards. I mean, keep explaining the package.
Package.
Show me what 37 did well. You can't.
Can't really do that for you. I'm sorry. Sorry, dude. My apologies.
I in the sky don't lie.
617-779-0985. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe coming up at 1 o'clock about the Bruins, who have quickly become one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. If you can believe that. Let's go to Mike, who's in Cambridge today. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi.
So I completely agree with you about Malcolm Butler, because if you think about it, how he made his name was subbing in for Kyle Arrington in Super Bowl 49. And then, you know, we all know how that ended. He easily could have done this again. So something had to have happened between inactives and kickoff for him to just not even be an option at all. I'll let you guys talk. Bye.
Why was he on special teams then? No, of course. Okay. I think we've addressed that in a number of different ways, so I don't feel the need to redo it. But Jake is in California. Hi, Jake.
Hey, fellas.
What's up?
Hey, Jake.
What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. So I want to make one quick comment. So Isaiah Thomas being traded, that means that we don't have the Jumbotron tribute issue anymore.
I wonder what Cleveland's... Wait a minute. I wonder what Cleveland will give him, like, when he returns there. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Freaking NBA. An NBA.
But I want to make a comment about the Super Bowl. So at the end of the first half, I think one play that's getting overlooked is James White scoring on that 25-yard touchdown run. You know, as the Patriots were trying to milk the clock and run the clock out while they're trying to get the touchdown on the last possession
nope.
of the half.
Nope. Sorry. That was a great run. And then you had him dead to right on third and three, and you gave up a, what, 47-yarder down inside the 10? Because Jordan Richards couldn't cover the back in the flat. He thought he was running a flat route. No.
Oh, no.
You had him.
I'm just saying.
You were going to get the ball back and score again. So I don't blame him for – that was a great run James White had.
Oh,
and
no,
then you
I'm
held
him. I'm not blaming him for scoring that. I'm just simply saying I think that play is somewhat overlooked in the sense that, you know, I don't think when Belichick and McDaniels are making their play calls, they're intending for him to score from the
No, they're not. Obviously, absolutely they're not.
It, right?
You're hoping to pop an eight-yarder off.
Yeah, exactly. And I think realistically, the sad thing is, you know, if in retrospect he had, you know, been taken down, that entire game might have been completely different leading into the second half.
Maybe.
The Patriots are possessing the ball within three as opposed to, you know, down 10. So
maybe Brady could have, you know, had a strip sack on the next play down there, and then you have no opportunity to score, and then you get no six off the board. There you did it. Your defense took the field, and you had them at their own 40, and you were gonna, and the momentum had swung, and you gave up a massive play down the right sideline. And then Philly scored. Boom. And then it's 22-12.
Yeah,
15-12. You were going to get the ball back, get off the field on that third and three, and you were going to at least get a field goal. Because Gostkowski was hitting from 60-61 in pregame. I didn't hear any of that. Scored too quick. Mismanagement. Off. They couldn't stop your offense. And then you made the Gronk adjustment at halftime to get even worse. Run trick plays. Just run your offense. Throw back to the quarterback. Jet sweep. We didn't even talk about the jet sweep. I mean, what's he trying to jump over him for? The quickest guy on the field. Make a move. Go around him. The last time he hurdled somebody. This is what bugs me about Brandon Cooks is there seems that there's a slight lack of football intelligence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's great.
I do
to
know.
Have,
I do know
it's great to have speed. You know, he catches mostly everything.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers are there. He had a good year. I don't want to put grade on it. Because I've seen other receivers have great years. You can't tag that he had a great year. Gronk had a great year. You know? Brandon Cooks had a good year. But there are times like the jet sweep. What indication gave you, hit your head that I should hurdle this guy? Or you catch that one, you know, little bow route. Now all of a sudden I'm going to cut it back inside and I'm going to hurry up and run this way. It's almost like he overthinks things. I don't know. Just doesn't seem like a natural, you know, like Troy Brown. Danny Amendola. Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, different players. I'm talking about slot guys. See, he's not a slot guy. It's almost like you need to be a smarter football player if that makes any sense to play the slot because you got to understand spacing. Brandon Cooks, for whatever reason, doesn't understand spacing well. And that could be a problem. But he might be great when you have everybody back next year, when Edelman's back. All of them, Hogan, Amendola, Edelman, Gronkowski.
Paul in New Hampshire. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hey.
Paulie.
Hey.
Beatles,
oh! Oh, Paulie!
Great show, guys. Great show. Hey, listen, second half, when Eagles go fourth and two and make it, why not let them score right away? Because you know they're going to score. And now you get the ball back with maybe 4 minutes to go, and you can have all your timeouts and the two-minute warning. I'll hear your comments and hang up.
Let them score, Zoe. No. Would you have let them score?
No. We had the ball with timeouts, two timeouts, two-minute warning, 2:21, and the best quarterback in the comebacks and fourth-quarter comebacks in the history of the game with the ball in his hands, and you were moving the football. You had the game in your hands. And Shaq Mason got beat, and the ball got knocked out. There's nothing you can do about it. We could sit here and cry over spilt milk. The situation was laid out perfectly. You had the ball, and you still got the ball back at the end. I'm describing it as it's winding down. You know, they're going to have a shot at this thing if they get it to midfield. They got it to midfield. Get it to the 40, then get it to midfield. Now you're watching the clock. 13 ticks there. No, you can't hit a play in the middle. Gronk does that great job getting over by the sideline, hurdling a guy to get out of bounds. Gave you a chance at a Hail Mary. You still had a chance at the end. Now, who was that diving for? Amendola? It was close. It wasn't like a crazy no catch. That was close. That was closer than the one against Indy. Not Indy, but the Giants in Indy. That's what I'm saying. So,
right, the game
confused.
That was.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
They, it's funny. And two Super Bowls on Hail Marys. That kind of sucks.
That end that way.
I don't know if that was technically the last play, but that was your last gasp. Brady ended up on his ass midfield. Both.
It was reminiscent.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Reminiscent. 617-779-0985. More on the Patriots and fallout of the Super Bowl in the week. That is coming up before we talk to Billy Jaffe at 1 o'clock.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is an absolute home run deal for the Los Angeles Lakers. They have got to be, as soon as they get off this trade call that they're having with the NBA right now, they're going to take a victory lap. They have been trying for months to clear cap space. And the Lakers just made an incredibly huge major move. They have now cleared the two max salary spots that they need for their dreams this summer of going after LeBron James. The Cavaliers have just cleared a path for the Lakers to go after Paul George and LeBron James this summer.
Rolling down Imperial Highway, the big nasty red at my side, Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north.
How much would that stick it to Isaiah even more that the Cavs are, I'm sorry, the Lakers are happy they traded for him? Because he's an expiring deal and they're clearing the space for the offseason when they go after LeBron. Brilliant. Brilliant.
So Isaiah Thomas put out a tweet this morning. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. When do you think he knew about the trade?
I don't see this tweet that you're talking about.
February 8th.
Hold on.
Today the 8th? I don't even know. Days all run together. There.
Oh, yeah, that is today. The 8th. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks, pal. Trying to add to the show a little bit.
Good job. It's good work.
Thanks. It's pretty quick.
Good work.
I just went to his Twitter feed to see if he's responded.
So I didn't see LeBron's game winner. I saw his post game where he...
Unreal. He blocked the shot on one end.
I didn't see this part of it, I mean to say. Someone tweeted us saying that after he hit it, that he ignored Isaiah Thomas. Was there some sort of obvious ignoring going on there?
He gave a chest bump to some dude, I don't even know who it was, number 16. And then Isaiah tried to grab him from behind, like to grab it, and he didn't shove him off, but went the opposite way to chest bump Tristan Thompson right after that. And it looked like Isaiah was just like grabbing at the back of his jersey trying to get him.
I just like his post game as well, where he's like, yeah, I didn't want to have to go to overtime. I think he said, I'm 33. I'm good with playing another overtime. I didn't need that tonight. So we'll just get it done in the regular season. In regulation, I should say. But Isaiah Thomas today traded to the Lakers from the Cavs. His time in Cleveland didn't go so well. Didn't go so well.
Let's hope he gets his video there.
Those 15 things, games. He played 15 games.
Seems to consume him. Yeah. How about that, Grandy? Maybe he won't even be on the team when they come back for Paul Pierce night.
They've already played the Lakers twice this season, too.
Yeah, they don't have the Lakers.
No, I'm saying when he goes to, or whatever. It's a joke.
Bobby and Dudley. Thanks. Hey, Bobby.
How you doing, guys? Hey, I want to run this by you. So how much money do you think the organization makes when they win a Super Bowl?
Oh, my God.
Just a round figure.
I don't know.
Tens
there's
of
a,
millions?
Oh, there's a massive marketing campaign, and then the amount of merch you're gonna look at the amount of stuff people buy at the Super Bowl. I mean, look at Philly right now.
Tens of millions?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so that went out the window. So that's gone. And then players make more money if they win it, right, rather than lose it. Don't they make more money?
Yes, the total win share was $191,000 through the playoffs.
Okay. Versus what? All right. 112?
110, somewhere in there.
Okay. Yeah.
So Robert Kraft's a businessman. And I got to believe with him being, and you're familiar with this, though, with all the owners in the league and him being one of the top ones, that he must have had 100 phone calls of what the heck has gone on here. What happened? All the stuff that you guys are talking about, the sports centers, everything, I got to believe that they met. And no matter what he did before for them, he's got to be real ticked off. And I think, you know, we can surmise all these different things, but I think he's truly, I'm going to teach you everything I know. I don't think he's going to be here at the start of the season.
Ooh,
I think he might help him.
Ooh, Bill?
I don't think he is going to be here.
You think he's going to get fired?
He ain't walking out on that.
No, I don't think he's going to get fired. I don't think he's going to fire him. I think he's going to give him a graceful way to leave. That car, how do you just say, okay, I don't mind losing tens of millions because you got an arrogance
about you? Why? Because Bill Belichick has made him hundreds of millions, if not billions, since he got here. That's why. Come on.
Bill's branded this thing, he and Brady. Come on. Robert knows. I make money in the business world. They make money in the football world. And it kind of works together, and things don't. You have a little bit of tension and friction in there, and you get past it, and you rack it up. You have an off season. You go out, and they're favorite to win the whole damn thing again. Nobody's close second. They're the number one favorite next year. Runaway. Already. Let's think about that. We might be back in this thing again next year. We're still spoiled, folks.
It's early.
Things happen.
If they don't make any significant upgrades,
their home schedule's not easy.
I'd be surprised if they're back in the game.
Yeah.
But got a big offseason here. A lot of things they could do between now and the start of camp.
Fix that defense.
A lot of things that could happen. So it's a little too early for that judgment. But as it stands right now, do I think they're the clear-cut favorite to win it next year?
Well, I think it's wide-ass open. I don't think anybody's
I never understand
favorite.
That.
I know. Like,
they lost on Sunday. They were on the wrong side of things on Sunday.
I think it's wide open. I wouldn't crown him as a favorite. So many things happen. Sitting there in September.
I would say that if you're betting, it's not a great value right now with them being the favorite.
I think what they are good at
is... not a great value bet.
They're pretty good at adjusting throughout the course of a season. That's what they're really good at. That's the one consistent thing you know from year to year to year to year to year to year. That they tend to figure things out at the end. And it gives them a shot. They will play themselves into having a shot. It's about seeding and where you play. And do you have home field? That's what it's all about.
Jeff in the car. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to ask Zoe a question, but quick thing about what you were just talking about. It's actually not a bad bet because they're probably going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to have home field advantage. And if they make the AFC Championship, you can go the other way and hedge, and you're going to win money either way because you're going to get long odds right now on them. But... it's a hedge bet. It's not for them to win at all. But that's not the question I was calling about. I was calling about the excuse that was used that this was a football decision, benching Butler.
Yes.
And Zoe said yesterday, he said that, you know, he's going to get up and say it's a football decision and... you know, obviously we couldn't get off the field. They didn't punt once. We couldn't get off the field on third down once. Does anybody believe that Butler wouldn't have made a difference on at least one of those third downs?
Yeah, I do. In the second half, sure. Once you adjust throughout the course of a game. I'm not talking about the interception or the one punt that you did have. I know they made their two technical stops. Horrendous. Horrendous.
Butler is your best tackler. Butler knows. Has anybody on that defense taken more snaps?
We tweeted out. There's two pictures. There's two tweets of Jordan Richards out in space on a back and a tight end. And normally I would be chunging that situation up in covers because that's his skill set. But Butler is the other nickel defender. There's the fact he didn't play, push chunk somewhere else, and then that's Jordan Richards.
Hardy has our headlines. 90 seconds.
How much Jordan Richards play AFC Championship game? How's he look in the playoffs?
Billy Jack.
You remember anything? I don't.
We'll be on the line with us. We'll talk some pucks with Billy Jaffe coming up next.
Pucks and Chucks.